Being a Christian woman and walking in God's calling for our lives can be a difficult task. With the world and pop culture telling us to be one way, and the Bible saying another, you kind of end up feeling like an other. Well, you're not alone. Join me now and my friends as we navigate life in our 20s and 30s, while making sure we live out our faith, embrace our femininity, and looking cute. We discuss pop culture, life, careers, relationships, and so much more. Prepare to be entertained and educated. I know you're going to love it. Join our movement and embrace being another girl.
The views expressed on this podcast are our own and do not reflect our employers. Enjoy. Hello, you are listening to Those Are the Girls with Mallory and Friends. I'm Mallory and we are changing culture and bringing back traditional values. Welcome to the podcast. Today is a solo TCAP. If this is your first time listening to Those Other Girls, I actually did get an influx of new followers on Instagram, so I'm really excited. If this is your first time listening, thank you so much. Welcome to the Other Girls universe, I guess you could say. Here we are talking life, career, relationships, pop culture, a little bit of true crime, and it's all from the Christian perspective. The whole purpose of this podcast is to educate as well as entertain. So hopefully some of these topics, you're going to learn a little bit of something, and then hopefully, you know, you're going to also be entertained with some hot takes. I personally, maybe not hot takes, but just like things that I have to say. I personally love giving my unsolicited opinion, which is why a podcast was like a perfect platform for me. Usually on Mondays, this episode is coming out on a Monday. Happy Monday, happy beginning of the week. Usually on Mondays, we have our TCAPs. They used to be on Saturdays, which is why this mug, Saturdays are for TCAPs. We're discontinuing this. I'm going to get a new one about Mondays. Cute, new design and everything. We have merch on the merch website. So it used to be on Saturdays. Now it is on Mondays, kind of just to welcome the week, to talk about like things that happened last week and to kind of get you prepared for this upcoming week. So I'm really excited to have you on. I'm happy that you joined us. We here at this podcast, we are constantly speaking the truth, but it's with grace and in love. So if you have been looking for like a fun pop culture podcast that's a little different than the other pop culture podcasts, you found her. This is your community. You are more than welcome to come and join us. We do a lot. We also do meetups, which leads us to some of our morning announcements. So at the beginning, I like to do morning announcements, kind of just like, okay, this is some things that are going on. First one, we are doing a share the love party, packing party, where we're going to get the supplies to do Embrace Grace boxes. If you have not listened to the episode, I believe it's episode 260. It's titled Embracing Grace with Amy Ford. She is the president of Embrace Grace. She's a founder. She talks about how she started Embrace Grace and like the benefits of Embrace Grace and how we as a church need to do more for moms and babies. So that is what we're going to be doing. We're going to be making a box at the Youth City Pregnancy Women's Center. It's going to be at 10:30 a.m. And I'm really excited for that. The Youth City Pregnancy Women's Center is a really important center. It's in university area, obviously, which is near a college. So it's going to be great doing that. And then secondly, we have a week for Love Life. So we're going to do the prayer walk where we go to the largest abortion facility in the Southeast and we do praise and worship and then we walk around and we pray. And if you've never done anything like this before, I think this is a great start. Eventually we are going to be doing some more things on the sidewalk, but I think this is a good start just to kind of see how the sidewalk goes and to kind of meet, not actually meet people, but like, well, I mean, you will meet people, but like kind of see how it goes and just see what we're actually up against. And all it is prayer. You don't have to talk to anybody. Melanie Salazar, she, I believe, was 2 weeks ago. So I want to say episode 261, maybe 262. She talks about how it is on the sidewalk. So if you listen to that and you feel empowered and you really want to do it, join us April 6th to kind of get a glimpse of it. It's not going to be the full extent of what can be done on the sidewalk, but it's a good start just to pray. I think prayer is so important and so powerful. It's a good way to start. So the other thing we're doing, And then, so I also want to encourage you to join our Patreon. If you listen to this podcast and at the end you're like, I really enjoyed this podcast. Like, I like what the purpose of it. I think this is important. I want other girls to find their other girl sisters. If you listen to that and that's how you feel, you should join a Patreon for $5 a month. So for the month of February, until everyone that joins the podcast between, everyone who joins Patreon is in a Patreon from starting today that you're listening to this all the way. So today will be, I believe, February 5th when this comes out. So February 20th, if you join, you'll be entered to win a Worthy Embracing Your Identity in Christ Bible study book. I will post that on the Instagram page. So it's a Bible study that we're going to be going through for the month of March. March is Women's Month. And I'm going to have like a lot of like women focused episodes. So someone health, someone identity, someone just like women things, femininity. I think I'm going to try to have someone. I follow this girl who does etiquette. I think it'd be fun to do like an etiquette episode, maybe even like we'll do like a YouTube video or something. But like, we're just going to be talking about those things. That is going to be for the month of March. And during that month, we're going to be going over the Bible, the book, Worthy Embracing Your Identity in Christ. It is from Daily Grace, and I'm going to be giving it away, giving one away. February 20th is when I'll pick the winner, someone who joined the Patreon. I'll pick that winner, and I'll mail them a copy of it so they don't have to get their own copy. But I just think this is going to be good because I think as women, one thing that we do, at least I know, I struggle with my identity. And I think like doing a really good Bible study, kind of like, who are we? Like, who exactly are we? Where do we put our identity? We know we put our identity in Christ, but what does that practically mean? And I'm excited to get into this Bible study. I've never done it before. I like Daily Grace, so we'll see how it goes. So that is what you can get. You'll be entered to win that. If you join the Patreon, you'll also get at least one new episode a month, at the least. There could be more than one new episode a month. You get at least one new episode a month. You'll get the ability to ask a special Patreon question. So when we have guests, you're able to ask a specific Patreon question only. That is going to go just for the Patreon. It'll be on the Patreon feed on the website, or you can also have the feed. They have a partnership with Spotify now. I'm trying to think anything else. Oh, you get to know about early access to special events. And then if we have any kind of like really cool new merch that's new or something like that, you'll be able to get early access to that as well. I believe those are all of the morning announcements. So we have a lot to talk about, and it's just me. I have my mug, and it's coffee. Not really. Let me tell you what I'm drinking. I'm drinking this drink from Clean Juice. I don't know if you have a Clean Juice wherever you are in your area, but my mom discovered it, and she put me on, and it is just like, my mom loves it. Loves, loves, loves it. And I do get some things from there, and it's called the Golden Latte. I got that, and let me tell you what's in it. It is coconut milk, coconut sugar, MTC oil, coconut water, which is so funny. I like this, but I actually like hate coconut. Turmeric, cinnamon, ginger, cardamom, Himalayan salt, vanilla, and black pepper extract. So what it does is anti-inflammatory, mood boosting, and cognitive support. So Clean Juice, they have all their stuff is clean, obviously, and it's really good. Like, I really enjoy it, and I'm really excited to be drinking it. Another thing we do is before we get into all of our stories, we do kind of like a little clink toast at the beginning. So wherever you're listening, grab a mug or a cup or whatever you're listening to and clink with me. Okay, that was cute and corny, whatever. All right, let's talk. A lot to discuss today. First is, this is Black History Month. And I posted on the Instagram that I really do want to, I know, like, it feels like racial tensions are really high right now, and I don't want to, you know, stir the pot or anything, but I do this month. I kind of want to, like, highlight some Black historical figures, I guess you could say, for lack of a better word, that we might not know about or, like, you haven't really heard of, and I'm learning a lot myself, and, you know, Black history is American history. I do agree with that, but, like, for example, I don't this person I'm going to talk about today, very interesting. I don't remember learning about him. So I think it's just going to be good. There's nothing wrong with like learning more information. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Don't get upset with me. That's all I'm saying. So we're going to do a Black History Month fact, or like learn a little bit about them. About a particular figure every TCAP. So that's how we're going to start the TCAP. So this week we're learning about Matthew Henson. And this is from biography.com. Are you ready, other girls? Here we go. Matthew Henson was an African-American explorer best known as the co-discoverer of the North Pole with Robert Edwin Peary in 1909. The famed African-American explorer Matthew Henson was hired by explorer Robert Edwin as his valet for expeditions. For more than two decades, they explored the Arctic, and on April 6, 1909, Peary, Henson, and the rest of their team made history, becoming the first people to reach the North Pole. Matthew Henson was born August 8, 1866, in Charles County, Maryland. He's the son of two free-born Black sharecroppers. He lost his mother at an early age. At the age of 11, he left home to find his own way. After working briefly in a restaurant, he walked all the way to Baltimore, Maryland, and found work as a cabin boy on the ship Katie Hines. Its skipper, Captain Childs, took Henson under his wing and saw to his education, which included instruction in the finer points of seamanship. During his time aboard the Katie Hines, he also saw much of the world, traveling to Asia, Africa, and Europe. In 1884, Captain Childs died, and Henson eventually made his way back to Washington, D.C., where he found work as a clerk in a hat shop. It was there in 1887 he met Robert Edwin Peary, an explorer and officer in the U.S. Navy Corps of Civil Engineers. Impressed by Henson's seafaring credentials in Nicaragua. Over the next several years, Peary and Henson would make multiple attempts to reach the North Pole. Their 1902 attempt proved tragic, with six Eskimo team members perishing due to a lack of food and supplies. However, they made more progress during their 1905 trip, backed by President Theodore Roosevelt and armed with a then state-of-the-art vessel that had the ability to cut through ice. The team was able to sail within 175 miles of the North Pole. Melted ice blocking the sea path toward their mission's completion, forcing them to turn back. The team's final attempt to reach North Pole began in 1908. Henson proved an invaluable team member, building sledges and training others on their handling. Of Henson, expedition member Donald MacMillan once noted, quote, "With years of experience equal to that of Peary himself, he was indispensable," end quote. The expedition continued into the following year, and while other team members turned back, Peary and the ever-loyal Henson trudged on. Peary knew that the mission's success depended on his trusty companion saying at the time, quote, "Henson must go all the way. I can't make it there without him," end quote. On April 6, 1909, Peary, Henson, and four Eskimos and 40 dogs, now this is in parentheses, the trip had begun with 24 men, 19 sledges, and 133 dogs, finally reached North Pole, or at least they claimed to have. So, I found that incredibly interesting, specifically the part where it says, at least they claim to have. I had never heard of that, and I didn't realize that one of the men that was considered a founder of the North Pole, a co-discoverer of the North Pole, was an African-American man. I think that's very interesting. And I want to add, so I looked into the, or at least they said they did. Now, they're saying that all of them did, but they're at during various times, people were saying like it was hard to believe because, you know, in 1909, I believe it was so hard for people to believe that all of that's, everything was over there, that you could even get to the Arctic and you can get to the North Pole. So it was very like controversial, like, oh, these men said they did. And then, you know, people were dying on these expeditions. So I thought that was very interesting. I had never heard of Matthew Henson. So that's your little, I guess you'd say, fact for the day. Okay, here we go, everybody. Now, our next story is brought to you by Bustle. I thought this was perfect because not only is February Black History Month, it's also kind of a lovey month because of Valentine's Day. Here we go. This is brought to you by Bustle. Dating apps are in their flop area. Talk to your friends, scroll social media, or just sit in a bar and listen, and you'll encounter a similar sentiment. Millennials are tired of dating apps, and Gen Z singles might not bother with them. Now, this is true. As a single. A 2023 survey of college and graduate students found 79% don't use dating apps even once a month. Now, I'm going to be reading some like statistics and just some things that you might not know. And part of the reason why I'm reading them is because I find it very interesting. These companies are feeling the shift. Match Group. Listen to the apps that Match Group owns. They own Tinder, Hinge, Match.com, and OkCupid, among others. So there's more they own, but these are like the big ones that they own. I'll say it again. Tinder, Hinge, Match.com, and OkCupid. They had seen its stock price drop 40% in the last year. Bumble founder and CEO Whitney Wolf Herd stepped down in November after 10 years at the app, while Field is struggling through a disastrous rebrand. I definitely remember when Bumble came out. I can't believe it was 10 years ago. I remember when it came out and got like really popular. I was 19, 10 years ago. That's crazy. Once a staple of the 20-something experience, these apps are now playing catch-up by rolling out new features and aiming to reshape their reputations. At least they're trying to. The golden age is over. Since their inception, dating apps have been a largely millennial endeavor. What started with Grindr in 2009 went mainstream with Tinder in 2012. That's also interesting that Grindr was the first like dating app. Their initial concepts were simple. Find nearby singles on your phone. With access to seemingly never-ending well of users, the only barrier to landing a date was mutual interest. Over the next decade, new apps emerged in hopes of getting their own piece of the pie. On Bumble, women message first. Hinge is geared toward finding love. Raya is exclusive and private. The League is for ambitious professionals. Apps like Lex, Her, Scruff, and Field cater to LGBTQIA+ and non-monogamous daters. Now, however, the novelty has worn off. Millennials still toiling away on the apps are getting fatigued. There's a feeling among current singles that the golden era has passed. As a recent TikTok by Kira Sullivan put, if you met your partner on a dating app 2 years ago, you caught the last chopper out of Nom. End quote. While the most popular dating apps remain free to download, almost all encourage users to pay a monthly subscription in exchange for perks such as unlimited likes and tools to boost how often you appear in other users' feeds. However, swipers appear reluctant to fork it up. Match Group saw its paying users decline for the fourth straight quarter, and a 2023 Pew Research study found that while 41% of online dating users aged 30 or older have paid for apps, just 22% of users under 30, the demographic they're looking to court, have done the same. So I just thought a lot of those statistics were very interesting. And I saw this article and I was like, oh, wow, this is very interesting as well. If you haven't, you should listen to the episode before this where we are talking about, we are kind of discussing like a couple of women who went on some dates and the dates did not turn out too hot. But they met them on apps, so we kind of just give some tips and just kind of discuss like things that we can all do to improve when it comes to dating and like making wise, smart choices. Okay, so let's talk about what I just read. The first thing I want to say is dating apps are kind of discouraging at this point. Like, I deleted the apps months ago. I can't really remember the last time I was on them. And really, I feel like I'm at this point where when I'm on the apps, I am just kind of like looking just to see. Like, I don't feel like I'm like looking to meet someone anymore. That's kind of just how it feels at this point. Which is discouraging. That's not good. It's not how it's supposed to be. And I think part of the problem is and you know, there's tons of people who, there's books and there's like other podcasts talking about this. There's so many things that kind of try to like solve this problem. But I think a huge, absolutely huge part of the problem is that people, like the people that are on the apps don't really seem to want to get to know you. And it's too, there's too much. There's too many options. And I know that there's some apps that try to fix that. So like for Hinge, unless you pay, I think it's like you only can like 5 profiles a day or something like that. They're trying to like eliminate the too many options. But I think like that's kind of the problem. And like when everything is based strictly on how someone looks, because like at the end of the day, that's what these apps are, based on how people look. You know, there's options where you can like, you know, for example, like on my Hinge, I have Christians only. So there's like options like that. But even still, you're kind of just like basing everything off of how someone looks, which isn't a bad thing. I'm not against, like, please date people you find attractive. Let me say that now. If you do not find someone attractive, you do not have to feel obligated to date them. Do not date someone you don't find attractive. You want to date someone you find attractive. But my point is, like, that is kind of like how, like, what we're training ourselves to only care about, even if, you know, it has all, so, you know, you make your settings, okay, you look and you read, but like really you're not looking and reading unless someone fits a specific look that you want. And then even sometimes, you know, I've dated people who I might not have swiped on an app because I thought they were attractive, but like if they were on an app, especially for guys, like no offense to the guys listening, y'all need to do a better job taking pictures. I'm constantly telling my guy friends, like, hey, you know what? Maybe not that one. But my point is, like, sometimes you date someone in real life that you find attractive. You're not unattracted to them, but you might not have, that look might not have been what you were looking for when you were on the app. I think you guys know what I'm trying to say. So I think, like, things like that are part of the problem. A lot of times, I'll say my biggest problem on the apps are people just wanting to hook up, and that's just not what I want. And that's not something, I mean, and the minute you tell a guy that you're abstinent, it's like, unmatched. Sometimes they'll be like, oh, wow, that's great. And then they'll unmatch. And sometimes they'll just like completely like unmatch without even having the conversation, which is fine because I'm not going to date them anyway. But my whole point is like, it's hard and it's kind of discouraging. Like part of the reason why I got off the apps, because it started to make me sad. And, you know, each app has its own reputation, has its own kind of style about how they go about things. And like, I was getting very discouraged. I'm right there with a lot of the millennials. Like, I'm over it. I don't know how or where I would meet someone in person. I'm just kind of like going about my day and about my life. And like, if I meet someone, I meet someone, you know, if I don't, I don't. But like, I have no idea like what the next steps are. I know that the Charlotte area friend was telling me they have like meetups for singles. I've never been. That's not something that I am planning on going to. Definitely not in Charlotte. But if you are in the Charlotte area, and even if you're in other areas, I'm sure if you go on Facebook or like even if you Google, there probably will be meetups and things like that. And I'm not knocking it if people want to do that. I just know that like that's not something I personally want to do. Not in Charlotte specifically, but you know, maybe in another city I might do it, but I just personally don't want to. But I would encourage anyone that wants to do it, because I do think that's a good place, because you know, you're at this meetup because you're single and you want to meet somebody. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's probably going to be the future, just like meetups like that. I don't know if the future is going out and meeting someone anymore. Guys are just not wanting to approach girls anymore, and we can go back and forth on the reason for that. You know, some of us girls, we can take responsibility for how things have kind of escalated on that. But then also too, there is the aspect of sometimes guys just need to like man up and like go ahead and do it. Like, and there's also a difference between like going up to someone out of nowhere and just introducing yourself and asking for a number. I personally don't think there's a thing wrong with that. And then doing it in a creepy way, like there's a difference. And I think you will have to figure out like, how to not be creepy. Maybe ask one of your friends in real life. I'd have to see you before I can like explain like whether the way you did it was creepy or not. Anyway, that's so I think that method is like kind of like out the window. Meeting people at, you know, church is a good way to meet people. Like to date, my last boyfriend I actually met at church. A good way to meet people is at school. Like if you're in grad school, if you're an undergrad and you're listening, a good way to meet people is like doing hobbies, doing the things that you like. If you are doing pickleball and you notice there's a guy who's always at pickleball the same time you're doing, I think that's a good way to meet somebody. There's just a lot of different ways now that we can meet people. But it's off of the apps. Like, I think apps are on their way out, honestly, if I'm being completely honest. I think apps are on their way out. What do you guys think? Do you think apps are on their way out? Do you think, like, there's going to be a resurgence? What do you think about, like, the idea of, like, is there a perfect app? Like, if you use the app, what app have you had really good success on? Yeah. I guess, another tip I would say for people who are on the apps, when you use, like, specific. So, I used Upwork for a couple of weeks. Every single person I matched with was a bot. As a matter of fact, let me tell you guys this story. I matched with this guy, really liked him. We were messaging, and then he said it was his birthday coming up, and he wanted like a Steam gift card or something like that. Long story short, I was like, that's kind of weird. Like, he's really asking for this gift card. Long story short, it's like part of a scam. Like, they get you to get these gift cards, and then they take the money from you, blah, blah, blah. So, stopped talking to him, whatever. Then I matched with this other guy, and he texted me. He asked for my number, I gave him my number, and he texted me, and it came through on the same thread as that other guy. Oh, and then I forgot to tell you, the first guy sent me a screenshot of his license, because I was like, this feels fake, and he's like, no, look, send me a picture of his license. And then this new guy asked him to send me a picture of his license. It was a completely different guy, and he had a new name, but it was the same number, so obviously he's like, you know, they get someone's license or whatever, and like, they scam, or they make a fake, I don't know. But I was just like, oh, this is clearly a scam. You forgot that you have already texted me from pretending to be somebody else or anything. So, like, that was, like, my extent of Upwork. And I feel like a lot of these, like, specialty apps, because they don't have the type of money, the type of, like, security that the big apps have, I feel like they are rifled with things like that. I feel like they have tons of fakes, bots, and things like that. So be careful with that. Don't ever give anybody money to meet on apps. Nowadays you need to ask to FaceTime people, and always remember that, like, you don't know the person, you do not know them. So even the first time, if you have, like, that was the best night and that you want to continue the night, I think we said this in the other episode, sometimes it's good for the night to end and just take it over into the next day. Talk, good night, I had such a great time, we'll talk tomorrow. Sometimes it's just better just to, like, let the night end. So that's just, you know, big sister tips for dating apps. All right, next story. Oh, this is an interesting story. So this is from the Daily Mail, UK. Surfer and one-armed shark attack survivor Bethany Hamilton weighs in on trans athletes' debates. Quote, male-bodied athletes should not be competing in female sports, period. End quote. Amen, sister. One of the world's most famous surfers, who lost an arm in a shark attack when she was a teenager, has weighed in on the contentious transgender athlete debate. Fun, quick story. I used to get American Girl magazine when I was younger, and I remember when this happened. They had a whole spread. I just thought she was the coolest girl. Like, she was, and the thing that, like, blew my mind was she, you know, had the shark attack, and then she said she wanted to keep surfing. That was crazy to me. And then I saw the movie and I saw that she was a Christian, and I was like, oh, this is good. I like her. So for the most part, I really like Bethany Hamilton. Bethany Hamilton, 33, was attacked by a 14-foot shark while surfing in 2003. But despite her life-changing injuries, went on to become a professional athlete and take the surfing world by storm, which is really cool. A really good story of, like, redemption and, like, just to remind you to keep going. If you really want something, just keep going. Hawaii-born Hamilton announced last year she will be boycotting all World Surf League events following its controversial decision to allow transgender women to compete in the female category. The outraged mom of four wrote on X yesterday, quote, male-bodied athletes should not be competing in female sports, period, end quote. Then another quote, I feel that I must speak up and stand up for those in position that may feel like they cannot say something about this, end quote. She said she believes trans athletes ought to have a separate division so they can have a fair opportunity to showcase their passion and talent. Hamilton's comments came just as the Australians called for a national boycott of iconic surf band Rip Curl for using transgender women in their social media accounts. The brand has since tried to scrub any trace of the promotion. Interesting. Rip Curl came under fire for using Western Australian professional longboarder and transgender woman Sasha Lowerson in a promotion for women surfing last week. Lowerson, 44, featured on Rip Curl Woman's Instagram on Thursday as part of the company's Meet the Local Heroes of Western Australia campaign. Rip Curl previously severed ties with Bethany Hamilton, reportedly over her opposition to transgender people competing in women's sports. What I really like about this is Bethany Hamilton is pretty calm. She's not like very inflammatory. She's not one of those women that, you know, has this huge platform. Well, I mean, she has a huge platform because she surfs, but she's not like constantly making comments on like the election and X, Y, and Z. She's just like a regular athlete. And I'm really glad that she's standing up. She is a Christian. And I really appreciate that as a Christian, she's also speaking up about this. And way to go, Bethany Hamilton. Part of the reason why I wanted to share it is because, like, you know, I don't keep up with surfing, so I hadn't thought about her in a really long time. But I just thought, like, ooh, this is very interesting. Like, she spoke up, she said something, and I think she made a good point. And I think she's doing great. Like, we have to, people in the sports, like women, we're the ones who are going to have to stand up and say no to having these transgender athletes in competition. And it's not to be mean to the transgender people. That's not the purpose of it. It is biological women should compete against biological women. Our bodies, men and women, are different. I say this all the time. We are equal in value, but separate in purpose. We're separate in strength. It is okay. We are equal in value. I think sometimes people, when you say men and women are different, they're like, oh, no, you're so... No, we're equal in value, but we're separate in purpose. We have different strengths, and these are all okay. This is not a bad thing. It is not a bad thing. Men and women are different. Biological women compete with biological women. Biological men compete with biological men. I don't really have, as I'm not necessarily a sports person, I don't really have like a where should they go opinion. I'm more than willing to listen. I think the idea of having their own category is good. I will say I've heard the debate against that is like, so that'll be like two people competing against each other. I mean, that's how it started off with women too. Like, women weren't doing all of these sports before. They didn't have a lot of people competing against them with the sports. So, you know, it's, I don't know. But I love that she spoke up. I think that's really good. I think that's so important for these women to speak up. And I think as those of us who are spectators, women, I think we should be encouraging her. Because she's gotten so much hate and so much attacking. I think we should be excited for her. Like, oh, thank you so much for speaking up. Yes, this is right. And also, interesting, Rip Curl took down that post. They got received backlash. I wonder. I mean, is it trending in the right direction now? I don't know. Okay, so next story, I'm going to play a clip from this episode of Law & Order. And I want to talk about it as a Law & Order fan. And I want to talk about it from as a fan, and I want to talk about it like from the perspective of like what is going on and what I think the solution is to this problem that Law and Order is essentially discussing. So, one second. Here we go.
Molly, Jay Watson raped you. You think I forgot? How could I? This entire trial has been an exercise in reminding me.
And this is your chance to do something about it.
I'm going to. Believe me. Because I can. I can afford therapy. I have that luxury. And maybe one day,
I'll be okay. But if that teenager goes to prison, he may not be.
So essentially, Liv, who is, if you've seen Law and Order, you know, Olivia Benson is the main character. Essentially, she's like a lead detective. I guess she's a sergeant. I don't really understand the ranking, but she's in charge. And then Carisi is the lawyer, the current lawyer. He used to be one of the detectives, fun fact. Anyway, they're talking to a woman who she didn't want to press charges against a gentleman, a kid, a teenager, a black teenager that raped her, and the woman who was speaking was white. And I saw so many conservatives, commentators, Law and Order is trying to promote this idea that, like, black people or, like, white women should accept rape and blah, blah, blah. That's, if you have seen any episode of Law and Order, you would know that's definitely not what they're promoting. One thing about Olivia Benson is she's going to tell you to testify. Whether you, if you lose every single thing that you ever have, if you end up in a shack, she's going to tell you at the end of the day, well, aren't you glad you testified? And you know what? Morally, that's the right thing to do. Whether it's a smart thing to do, it depends on the situation. That's not what we're discussing today. Maybe we can talk about that another time. But the purpose of that scene wasn't to say, no, like, white women should accept rape. That was not the purpose of that scene. And I really, like, it just irks me when so many people who don't know what they're talking about, like, do that. Because that, all that does is, like, that stirs the pot on, like, oh, wow, so now Law and Order is saying, no. Also, yeah, I'll just leave it at that. I just hate that. So just to give you guys some context. So if you saw that, I kind of want to talk about that clip. And I want to talk about, like, kind of, like, why I think they included that and, like, the purpose. So first of all, like I said, Liv is always going to tell you to testify. Even if she feels as if, like, it can hurt the person, she's always going to say testify. And once again, I think that is the moral right thing to do. And once again, as I said before, we can go back and forth whether that's a smart thing to do in everybody's life. Every situation is different, but it is the moral right thing to do. And that is what Law and Order was on. And they're always going to push, like, testify. Law and Order also does a lot of, like, commentary on, like, current events. And that is something that there are some people that are, I think maybe their heart's in the right place, but they're grossly incorrect, think like that. I think a lot of people's hearts are in the right place when they make comments like that because, you know, the reality is anyone, and not necessarily just black people, but anyone who, any teenager that goes into the system, like, I mean, goes into juvenile detention, prison or whatever like that, their life is without intervention, like from parents, from church, like without someone like specifically working with that child. I mean, that's it. We hear stories all the time that someone did almost like a minor crime, went to juvie for a couple months, and now they've spent 30 years for armed robbery and someone got hurt or something. And it's just because that escalates. I think that's a huge problem with our prison system. Like, our prison system should be designed to, it should be helping, especially teenagers, because that's the other thing too. Especially teenagers, the prison system should be designed to help teenagers rehabilitate, to get them to not do what they've done before. It is to get them to, when they come out, to be better citizens, to be better humans. So really, and then kind of like to rewind a little bit, someone who rapes someone, I don't care what race, age, race, religion, sexual orientation they are, they need to face consequences. That is a serious thing. That is not a joke. That is very harmful. That is awful. They must face consequences. Allowing people not to face consequences for things that they've done really doesn't make anyone better in society, because at the end of the day, this person has to go back into society. It doesn't help anyone in society, not even them. Like, it doesn't help them if they do not face the consequences. And here's the thing, like, once again, like I said, I think people's hearts that think like that, their heart's in the right place in the sense of, like, it can ruin someone's life. You know, there, I've heard stories of people who weren't that bad of a kid. They were kind of on a, you know, made some bad friends, they got caught up, went to jail, and then their life just went downhill from there. And because in jail there are good kids, or kids that, I mean, relatively good kids that are in jail. And there are some kids who, you know, have, I don't want to say too far gone, because I really don't think anyone's ever too far gone, but like, they are not as good. And, you know, realistically, especially with kids, influence and it's a mess. Our judicial system's a mess. I was listening to a podcast about this gentleman who was a Christian. He's now a Christian. He got saved in jail, and he was kind of like talking about, like, he did go to juvie when he was younger, and then eventually he went to like regular prison. I think he said he went there for 10 years. And he was saying, like, while he was in juvie, like, some of the people that were running the juvie, they would like have the kids fight, and like, they were just doing all these things. So like, of course that's going to change someone. So I do think there is room to say it's not done right. That should not be what happens in a juvenile detention. So I think that the idea behind, okay, I really don't want their life to be ruined, that's good. But once again, you have to have consequences, because then you're also not helping him. If this child sees that there's no consequences to their actions, they're going to continue to hurt people. They're going to, like, that's just a human reaction. How many people do you know, they did something kind of bad in school or something like that, and then, like, they didn't get any consequences, so then they kept doing worse and worse and worse. This is just the reality of the situation. And I think Law and Order included this portion because that is how some people think. That is how a lot of people are thinking nowadays, and we can't get into that. We have to understand that actions have consequences. There is room for grace, mercy, and redemption, absolutely, but your actions have consequences. So I wanted to just quickly talk about that clip, because I just saw it going around, and I'm like, these people completely don't understand what the purpose of this clip was. They don't even fully understand the show. If you think that Law and Order is, say, like, this is a good thing, you don't understand the show. So, okay. Next story. This will be the last story that we do for today. This is from local10.com. Florida mom's OnlyFans sticker gets banned from drop-off at kids' Christian school. A Florida mom is at odds with other parents over a controversial decal on her car. Facebook messages and TikTok complaints are taking the front pew at a private Christian school in Tavares. Lexi Thomas is a parent at Liberty Christian who wants an OnlyFans ad on other parents' cars to stay off campus. But not all parents want what Klein is shared at school. With some moms claiming Klein to the school. I'm so sorry. I don't know how I read that. Let me just go and redo that. I'm just going to read from directly from the website. This is from Local 10 News. Florida mom's OnlyFans sticker gets her banned from drop-off at kids' Christian school. A Florida mom is at odds with other parents over a controversial decal on her car. Facebook messages and TikTok complaints are taking the front pew at a private Christian school in Taraz. Lexi Thomas is a parent at Liberty Christian who wants an OnlyFans ad of another parent's car to stay off campus. Quote, "It's not just a tiny, tiny little emblem on the back of a car. It's taking up the entire back windshield of two vehicles," said Thomas. The other parent is Michelle Klein. Quote, "It's definitely linked to, you know, explicit content, adult content for sure." Klein, who goes by Piper Fawn, said OnlyFans is her business and her way of life. Quote, "My husband and I had this, you know, little wild, you know, behind the closed doors lifestyle that we've now decided to share," end quote. Oh my goodness. But not all parents want what Klein is shared at school. With some moms complaining to Klein in the school, telling her not to use the main entrance and instead drop her kids off across the street. Quote, "I was forced to have to, you know, take it off or not come on campus. And that would seem like an easy thing to say for sure. But for me, you know, it supports my family. This provides a very comfortable way of life for us. And it's legal, you know, I pay taxes just like everyone else, but it's not breaking the law. I just offended people," end quote, said Klein. Some parents at the school believe it's a distraction. Quote, "It's a distraction to my children, and no matter how poorly or how good I parent, porn is there. And if that's kind of the first thing they're seeing when they're going into a place that should be educating them," end quote, said Thomas. Klein said she wants the school at at the very least, to provide someone to help our kids get across the street safely. Okay. I saw this online. And people talking about it, and I was like, let me share my two cents. Okay, a lot of things going on here. It's a Christian school. I went to a Christian school. I'm very proud to have been a product of a Christian school, as they say. And I'm going to be sending my kids to Christian school. I'm very proud of that. I think Christian schooling is really good. I think it's important. I personally know that some of the lessons that I learned, if I had not learned them, just, and also some things like, so quickly, last year at Christian school, we took a logic course, logic and apologetics, and a lot of the things that I learned in that course, I think have helped me stick with, or help me think through and understand, like, Christianity's correct, you know, like, and it has helped me defend the faith as well, like, part of it was to defend the faith. And the other part was just like to make sure, like, if we're going to say we believe this, like, what are we believing? Like, do we truly believe it? And absolutely loved my Christian education. Shout out to Mr. Henson and Mr. Dow. Okay. I hope you guys listen. Okay. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. So I have a little bit of insight on Christian school. I also went to another Christian school before that. One thing that you learn with Christian school is that some people are sending their kids to the school to teach them about Christ. They don't live that lifestyle at home. They don't even really go to church. And as you get older, it becomes more obvious and you see it. And I think that's kind of what's going on here with this. So initially when I read that story, I was like, okay, well, the biggest reason why it's wrong, in my opinion, is because as you say, you're a Christian. As a Christian, God tells us to flee from sexual immorality. In 1 Corinthians, I believe 1 Corinthians 6, it's about fleeing from sexual immorality. We know that anything on OnlyFans, unless you're like literally just baking, because OnlyFans just started off almost like Patreon. Unless your OnlyFans is pretty much Patreon, we know that anything on OnlyFans, and I mean, she said an alternative lifestyle, whatever she said, some sort of fancy lifestyle. So we know it is sexual immorality. And we know that, you know, we know it. The Bible tells us to flee. So then I got thinking about it more. Like, she never said she was a Christian, at least not in the little article said that I read. So she could just be one of those people that are kind of just like dropping their kids off, hoping that their kids. So the high school I went to was really good at sports. I think we were probably the best sports school, one of the best private sports schools. So I do know, I remember I met a lady once and she asked me what school I went to, asked me how I enjoyed it. And I told her, and then she said, well, we're not really Christians, but we saw your sports are really good. We're thinking about sending our kids there. So, you know, there's that aspect of it. So that maybe it could be something like that. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, this is unacceptable. Like, there are just certain lines that I think we have to draw as Christians and, like, promoting an OnlyFans. Because the only reason why it's on her car is because she's promoting it. It's promoting OnlyFans. I go back and forth whether you should kick them out of the school. Because I know some people were saying that kick them out of the school. The part of me that says kick them out of the school is, like, we have to have a standard and they're not fitting that standard. The other part is, like, the kids need to hear, like, if the Christian school is preaching the Bible, they need to hear what the Bible is saying. You need to hear what the Bible says about this. And, like, you know, unfortunately, it goes against what your parents are doing, but they need to hear that. And they need to know that they're loved. And the parents need to know that they're loved. So the parents need to know, like, what you're doing is wrong. We're going to love you through that because we want you to repent and sin no more, which is another thing that I kind of wanted to add on to that. So whenever we're talking about things like this, I think a huge thing is, like, when people are actively, unapologetically sinning, and everybody always goes, well, Jesus ate with sinners. Absolutely. But he told them to repent and sin no more. And repenting is something that I've been thinking about a lot lately in my own life when I repent of things. Repenting isn't, I'm about to go do something. Sorry, God. And then you come back. Oh, God, I'm sorry. And then you go and do it again. I'm sorry, God. That's not repenting. You're not really repenting. You're just saying sorry. Meaninglessly. repenting is you do this thing, you truly feel terrible about it, and repent means to turn away. You don't do it again. Obviously, you're human, so you're going to continue to sin. So, like, you might do it again, but once again, you truly are like, God, I am sorry. Because there's a difference between, like, intentionally continually doing sin and, like, stumbling into sin or just kind of, like, really struggling with something sin-wise. You know, there is a difference. There is a difference. And you know the difference because you know in your heart. And God knows. What's more than anyone knowing the difference, God knows the difference. So when these things happen, when you're friends with people or like when you're in the presence of people who are like actively sinning and like they're unashamed about it, you know, and you're like running, for example, like if you're in a Christian school, like the idea really is to tell someone you are loved. This is a place for us to talk and discuss. Let's talk about like why you feel as if this is important. Do you know what the Bible says about this? Okay, this is the truth. This is truth. You're a Christian. This is the truth. This is truly what God has said about it. We love you. We are calling you to do better. We're calling you to no longer sin. We're calling you to repent and to not do it again. That, I think, is like the best, most loving way to handle it. Now, I don't know if that's what they're going to do. Right now, it's just they're just telling them to drop them off on the other side of the street. I still think that is so weird. I mean, I think the whole thing is weird. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, if my kid, we saw an OnlyFans thing, I definitely would cause an uproar. I'd say, hey, this is very inappropriate. And, I mean, so even take away, like being in the Christian school probably has to be the harder position to be in it. But, like, there's also the aspect of, like, something sexual is very inappropriate. Like, there is no reason to have that there because kids are going to ask, what is OnlyFans? Maybe you're not ready to have that conversation. Maybe they're not old enough to have that conversation. And it's just terrible. And here's the other thing too that I noticed. I truly think people like that are just doing that to get a rise out of people. Like, she doesn't have to have that on her car. And if she's so rich, why can't, when she drops her kids off, she use a different car? If they just have a great lifestyle, just use a different car when you drop your kids off. It's not on both cars, is it? Like, I just, it's so crazy that, like, I definitely think it's one of those things where, like, sometimes people do things just kind of, like, to get the Christians or whatever group it is riled up. I definitely think that's what this was. Because, like, this is crazy. Like, why are you doing that? And I'd call my school, like, hey, this is not appropriate. This person, I don't know how you need to handle it, but like, well, you know, I don't think this is appropriate and something needs to be done. That's what I would do. All right. Well, that was a quick episode. I just want to thank you guys for listening. Let me know, had you ever heard of Matthew Hinson? I thought that was very interesting, his story. And I kind of do want to look to see more, like, oh, if they think that these men didn't discover the North Pole, like, is there some sort of, like, mystery intrigue? Like, do they think, like, they killed some of the people that died? Like, that's very interesting. Let me know if you've heard of Matthew Hinson. Let me know, are you still on the apps? Do you think the apps are going out of style? Do you think, like, there's going to be another resurgence on the apps? What do you think about what I said when it comes to, like, consequences and when it comes to prisons? Do you think, like, our prison system is perfectly fine the way it is? Like, tough nachos to the kids that, like, go in good and come out bad. Their behavior. I want to say behavior because one thing that I learned, so I used to do summer camps for inner city kids, and I really, like, want to not call kids good or bad because at the end of the day, kids are not good or bad. Their behavior is good or bad. Well, and, you know, this is a whole nother conversation too. I don't think humans are good or bad. I think we can have good or bad actions, but specifically kids, like, their behavior is good or bad. And when a kid behaves poorly, it is not the kid's fault. It is the parent's fault, but that's a whole nother conversation. So what do you think about that? The prison idea on that. And then, like, let me know, like, would you be okay if you were dropping your kids off at a Christian school and someone there had an OnlyFans, you know, like, and, oh, here's another thing, too. I wonder if any of the parents, like, walked up to her. I'm trying to think. I think I would. There would be a version of me that would walk and be like, hey, what's going on? What's all this? Like, kind of wanting to get a little bit more context, like, explanation of, like, why are you doing this? Because that would just, I mean, it would be shocking. shocking to see, especially as like a parent, like at a school, like, ugh. And then, you know, they wanted to get attention on the news. So it just feels very like, ooh, let me see how can I like rifle people's feathers? But so yeah, so this is a TCAP. We go over stories. Next week, I'll probably have one of my friends. So it's called Mallory and Friends. So I'll have friends on to do the TCAP. Normally didn't this week, but next week I probably will. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Oh, I also, this week we're going to have an episode of Oops Spoilers come out. I read this book. It's called Don't Let Her Stay. Let me like triple check. Why am I blanking on the name of this book? It's called, it's on my Goodreads, Don't Let Her Stay. And I thought it was really good. It also wasn't spicy. And one thing that I do want to do with this platform and like for other girls, if you're looking for like non-spicy, interesting books, I do want to be like let you guys know when I find them. So I'm going to do an Oops Spoilers about it. Oops Spoilers is essentially just a podcast where I'm talking about movies or books or something like that that I enjoyed. It's literally just me chit-chatting. Like, it's not anything serious. Maybe get 2 or 3 listens. Like, it's more of just like a fun project thing. But I want to tell you guys about the Don't Let Her Stay, because I just thought that was, the book was really good. Even though I saw like some negative reviews. But anyway, I'll talk about that on the episode. We're going to have that. And then this week's interviews with my friend, Erin. She is a therapist. She's low-key kind of my personal therapist. She's my best friend in the entire world. And we are going to be talking about like love and like relationships and yada yada, just in time for Valentine's Day. So that's going to be this week's interview. So that'll be out on the Thursday after this episode comes out. Anywho, I hope you guys enjoy this episode. And if you did, please, please, please think about joining a Patreon. It's just $5 a month. I would really, really appreciate it. Every single thing for this podcast comes out of my pocket, except for the things that I can be paid for by people who are already on the Patreon or if someone donates. But for the most part, everything comes out of my pocket. So it would be very, very helpful if you decide to pay $5 extra a month and you get extra things. Like, you're not just paying $5, just to pay $5. You get extra stuff. So if you enjoyed it, please join the Patreon. Also, if you can, please, please, please leave a rating, a review, and subscribe wherever you're listening. If it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, all the other ones, just if you can, please rate, review, and make sure you are subscribed and share this with your friend. I think this is a good, it's a quick episode, but very interesting. We talk about some interesting topics on here. Very interesting topics. So share this with your friend and answer the questions that I asked earlier. And I believe that's it. Have a great day, night, evening, however, wherever you're listening. Bye.